Coming up, Catholics who reject some teachings of the church, how does their pastor minister to them?
It's like being a parent to be a pastor. You never give up on your children.
And how a Hollywood executive rescued Cambodian children from picking garbage and gave them a new life.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're yourretirementcompany.com. Also by the Henry Luce Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Welcome, I'm Bob Abernethy. It's good to have you with us. Muslim American groups were among those condemning the attempted bombing in New York's Times Square. The Muslim Public Affairs Council and the Council on American-Islamic Relations welcomed the arrest of Faisal Shahzad, a Pakistani-American. CARE said it would work with police to gather more information about the attempted attack. The United Nations opened a month-long conference in New York to review ways to contain the spread of nuclear weapons. And for the first time, the U.S. officially released the number of its nuclear warheads, 5,113.
May peace prevail on Earth.
Prior to the conference, leaders from several religious traditions gathered at the U.N. to pray for the abolition of all nuclear weapons. Christians, Jews, Muslims, and Buddhists were among the participants. Also there was the Roman Catholic Archbishop of Nagasaki, Japan, whose mother was pregnant with him during the 1945 atomic bomb attack. In Washington, President Obama issued a declaration marking May 6th as the National Day of Prayer, despite a federal judge's ruling last month that the designation is unconstitutional because it amounts to government endorsement of religion. The administration plans to appeal that ruling, a ruling that has provoked a lot of controversy. Legislators on Capitol Hill also acknowledged the day with a special service, one of many held around the country. At the Capitol event, the featured speaker was Franklin Graham. He had been disinvited from a prayer event at the Pentagon because of his criticism of Islam and other controversial statements. On Thursday, he defended himself.
I don't want to be offensive to anyone, but I only know how to pray and only know how to preach the way that the Bible instructs me.
As the oil slick spreads along the Gulf Coast, people of faith are mobilizing to respond. Kim Lawton reports.
Anxiety is running high at Mary Queen of Vietnam Catholic Church in New Orleans as parishioners worry about the massive oil spill's ecological and economic impact.
That's their livelihood. They don't know what will become of it.
A significant number of those in the Gulf Coast fishing industry are of Vietnamese descent, from fishermen to people who shuck oysters and peel shrimp. Father Vian Nguyen says his church is offering spiritual support and practical aid, including job counseling, hazardous materials training, and information about the cleanup efforts. He says many in his congregation have been at a disadvantage because they don't speak English well. The church is trying to do what it can to help them.
Our push and all that we do is nothing new in the church. It's part of the church's social teachings. So we are just applying what was already taught, be it social justice or dissemination of information or, you know, those type of things. This is part of what the church does.
Emotions are intense across the region, which is still suffering from the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. Many religious leaders are organizing their communities to lobby for more help from the government. EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson attended a meeting at a lower Ninth Ward church this week and asserted that the Obama administration considers the situation a top priority. But people here don't have a lot of trust in the government.
Because in this state, I'm still leery about the EPA in the state of Louisiana.
Give money for your mouthpiece.
amid the frustrations, many here are praying for the faith to persevere. I'm Kim Lawton reporting.
8 months after deciding to allow clergy in same-sex relationships, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has officially reinstated a gay pastor in Atlanta. Reverend Bradley Schmeling was removed from the church's official clergy roster in 2007 because he was in a gay relationship. Since then, he's been prominent in efforts to lift the denomination's ban on gay clergy. That policy change was approved by delegates to the ELCA's national meeting last August. In Turin, Italy, Pope Benedict XVI prayed before the Shroud of Turin, the holy relic now on public display that some believe is Jesus' burial cloth, but others dismiss as a fake. The Pope called the Shroud an icon written in blood. At the same time, demonstrators gathered in that city to protest the Pope's handling of the spreading sex abuse scandal. Though the current revelations of clerical abuse and cover-up have emerged mostly outside the U.S., many American Catholics are not happy with the Church's response. According to a new New York Times CBS News poll, a majority of American Catholics, 58%, think the Vatican has done a poor job handling allegations of sex abuse by priests, and 54% say the Vatican is out of touch with the needs of today's Catholics. Nevertheless, these opinions seem to have had no effect on U.S. attendance at Mass, contributions, or participation in parish work. This is consistent with a decades-old phenomenon among American Catholics: disregard of many Vatican teachings, especially on sex and gender issues, but at the same time, deep loyalty to their local parishes. Judy Valente has our report.
One of the topics that the church talks about is living together, cohabitating. And this is always—
These young Catholic couples in Chicago are attending a marriage preparation workshop required by their church.
And this is always such a hard topic to talk about because the church teaches, you know, wait to have sex until you're married, right?
And if you're Despite together, that teaching, half these couples may already be living together.
No guilt about your decision?
No, it never really came into play for me.
We're both artists, and we just don't have, we can't support ourselves on our own.
It's important to get to know the person as well as you can before you get married.
The priest didn't say anything bad. They didn't ever say that we shouldn't be living together. There was no condemnation.
Sex outside of marriage, divorce, homosexuality. For many Catholics, these no longer carry the stigma they once did. Catholics disagree with their church on a variety of issues. The vast majority say women should be priests. And according to a recent survey, 58% say they think abortion should be a personal decision. The bishops keep talking about these issues, but fewer Catholics seem to be listening. What's a pastor to say to the people in the pews?
It's like being a parent to be a pastor. You never give up on your children, but you keep holding the ideal and explaining the ideal and hoping people will strive for it, but not condemning them when they fall short.
With so many Catholics going their own way these days, the role of pastor is perhaps more complicated than ever.
When I was growing up, the church was the ideal that we tried to change ourselves to match, and now people want to change the church.
Father Lee is the pastor of two parishes in Chicago. Most of his parishioners are highly educated, and they represent a diversity of views about church teaching.
All authority is being questioned in our times, some of it selfishly, some of it enlightened.
The Lord be with you.
I think Americans are more comfortable in an educated democracy now, and so they want to spread that democracy to the church, which has never really been a democratic organization. I think we have to be open to a dialogue of understanding what the church teaches and really hearing it and not dismissing it instantly. On the other hand, I think the church has to open itself to hear the wisdom of its laity.
I'm a Eucharistic minister, and I'm a lecturer and an usher when need be.
I've been on the parish council for several years, but also I'm a lecturer, commentator, Eucharistic minister, and I'm the lead bass in our church choir.
Joe Murray and Dennis Cluge have been a couple for 31 years. They are active members of Father Lee's parish.
I understand where my pastor's coming from, and he understands where I'm coming from. And on that topic, we do not necessarily agree. But that's okay, because we respect each other.
But I think it's important that Joe and I just approach it as we are just two guys coming to church, and we're just here to worship like everyone else, and we get involved, people get to know us. And so we've never, at least personally, I've never felt excluded.
Women probably have more of a reason to be angry at the church than we do, because we're not allowed to marry, but they're not allowed to become priests. They're told that because of their biology, that's excluded for them.
As at many parishes, women in Father Lee's congregation aren't shy about expressing disagreement, but they remain practicing Catholics nonetheless.
I personally stay in the church because I believe the basic tenets that are taught, and what I disagree with are man-made laws, not what Jesus taught.
What about artificial birth control? Do you know women who've left over that?
Most of the women that I know are doing what they need to do and not talking about it.
The body of Christ.
A good number of Father Lee's parishioners are divorced and remarried. If they have not gotten their first marriage annulled, the church says they may no longer receive communion. This is often ignored.
If they want to receive communion, I explain to them why they're asked not to receive communion. And if they make the decision, they feel they want to receive communion, I have to honor their conscience if their conscience is informed.
Informed conscience is something Catholics are increasingly citing as support for disregarding official church teaching. It means, in essence, that one has studied church teaching, reflected on it, and concluded that the teaching can, in good conscience, be rejected.
If your conscience is telling you this is not a sin, but the church's teaching says it is a sin, and you know that what the church's teaching is, then where do you stand?
If you take exception to a church teaching, you better have pretty good reason, and not just it's because I want to do this.
Reconciliation refers to the sacrament of forgiveness that used to be known as confession. Father Lee waits in the confessional every Saturday. Some days, no one comes.
Do people know what sin is? I think they do. I think our whole being tells us when we're being sinful. It's unpleasant to deal with our own brokenness. And yet, for those people who are brave enough to take that step, there is such healing in that sacrament that I can't imagine my life without it.
In your view, is it possible to be a faithful Catholic and yet disagree very strongly on some church teaching?
Yes. Yes, you can be faithful, and you can dissent. Dissent is challenge, and had we had more dissent, public dissent, we may not have gone through what we're going through in terms of the clergy sexual abuse.
Is this new round of scandal making it more difficult for you to be a pastor?
Makes me feel ashamed. It makes me look at that clerical culture of secrecy and say, this is unhealthy, it needs to be blown open.
Recent allegations about that culture of secrecy have rekindled outrage at the institutional church. But people make a distinction between the Vatican and their own parish.
That's the big church. The little church is really where my heart is.
You have to define what church is for us. The church is our parish. So our experience of church is through the parish.
I think part of it is the strength and the beauty of the Catholic culture. I don't think it's a religion like some religions. I think it's in your bones.
Women and some other people who have left the church come back to the church whenever they're asked, you know, why did you come back? They say, not having the Eucharist, something was missing, and that brings them back, that hunger brings them back.
We see the love of Jesus when he meets sinners in the gospel. He doesn't condemn them. Instead, he invites them to come and accept healing, to come and accept forgiveness. It's certainly an important role to be compassionate, to draw people in from wherever they are into a closer relationship with Christ. And so you don't achieve that by throwing up barriers and saying, you can't belong, or you're excommunicated. That strikes me as not terribly Christ-like.
Great sermon.
Thanks.
I like that one.
Thank you.
Well, I'm the shepherd. I have to get the strays and keep nipping at their heels to get them back into the flock where they'll be safe.
For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, this is Judy Valente in Chicago.
Over and over again on this program, we hear of people doing amazing things with their lives, especially for children. Some are formally religious, some not. One man we come back to is Scott Neeson, an Australian and former Hollywood big shot who went to Cambodia as a tourist and decided to educate and care for children he found picking garbage. As Lucky Severson reports, Neeson's schools are now teaching 500 kids.
If kids are any judge of character, Scott Neeson must be doing something right.
He's so kind. He has poor family, and they can get a better life, like me.
Samson Nguyen is one of about 500 kids whose lives have been made a whole lot better by the Cambodian Children's Fund, known as the CCF, that Neeson founded 7 years ago. It may be the best schooling in Cambodia. This is Ali Hoffman, one of Neeson's volunteers.
I tell Scott that I can tell who's been here longer because it's almost like watching something flower.
Hard to imagine that some of these sweet, clean faces are the same he found at the Phnom Penh garbage dump when he first arrived here 7 years ago. There were 1,000 families existing in the rubble, kids scrounging barefoot through broken glass, jagged metal, and bubbling chemical waste, hoping to earn 50 cents a day from scrap. Ok Noi Hoi was one of them.
When I got money, I gave it to my uncles and aunt. I never have a money to buy anything like food to eat. Someday I don't have a food to eat.
It just blew me away. It just was the most appalling situation I've ever seen. Just the level of suffering and tragedy down there, the level of impoverishment and lack of any kind of human dignity. It was just, I couldn't walk away.
He had been just passing through, a backpacking tourist. But within a year, he had given up his very lucrative job as a president of a division of Sony Pictures, his multi-million dollar home, his fancy cars, his yacht.
You were a man of means.
I was a man of means and luxuries. And, you know, I sort of enjoyed it, but I wasn't particularly happy.
A year after he moved here, using his own money and contributions from friends, he opened a boarding school for 40 kids, many of whom had been abandoned by their parents. A couple of years later, enrollment had grown to 180. Now he has over 500 students in 5 schools, including a vocational school. Students here can learn crafts like sewing, design, hairstyling, even baking. Several graduates have found jobs in local businesses. In the beginning, it was all about education, but it wasn't long before Neeson realized that a kid who is constantly sick or malnourished or lives in an abusive family is not going to be a good student. So CCF gradually expanded its mission to include outreach programs for the whole impoverished community that surrounds the dump.
She has a hole in her heart, so she's struggling to breathe. She's got her heart's having issues.
All right, look right at me, okay?
Because so many people need medical care, CCF built a clinic, not just for the youngsters, but for their families.
It's possibly the only fully free medical clinic, I think, in the country that treats everyone, everything, regardless of age and disease.
That one looks good.
The doctors from Cambodia and around the world are all volunteers, like Christian Schroeder, a pediatrician from Nebraska.
Last year I was looking for a place to volunteer in Southeast Asia, and I wrote a letter to different nonprofit organizations, and Scott wrote me a letter back saying that, I think his exact words were, I would crawl over broken glass to have a pediatrician come to CCF. I can't refuse that.
The little girl getting a checkup, her name is Sen, was skin and bones a few years ago. Now she's Neeson's number one student, studying to become a doctor.
I was at a wedding and I felt something rustling at my feet under the table, and I thought it was a rat. And I jumped in the air, and it was Sen was under there collecting the scraps of food and the bottles, and that's how we met.
Scott really wanted to help all the children that he sees, yes, and he hoped to help all of them. He said he will save the world if he can.
Delivered to the door.
Today, he's a delivery man, dropping off free rice to families who might earn $500 a year, if they're lucky. Here, he's handing out care packages for newborns.
Here we are.
And for mothers who have no money to pay for a babysitter while they work, CCF opened a daycare school. And for those who need help with their babies, a free nursery.
These kids are feral. They don't have a place to stay, so we bring them in, feed them.
The CCF program is filled to capacity. Neeson can't take in any more children. But these kids are hungry, so every afternoon he opens the gates and they stream in for a hot meal, a pair of shoes, a shirt.
Oh, made in Cambodia.
Because the classrooms at CCF are all full, Neeson has opened 4 satellite schools in impoverished neighborhoods.
Because of the demand, we now have 3 to 4 sessions a day in every location. We're having one on the other side, and it filled up within 48 hours. Kids just want to study.
Neeson says one reason he is so preoccupied with education is because he never graduated from high school himself.
You know, I'm not a big believer in destiny, but it does seem like this is what I was meant to do. Everything I've done prior to now, whether it was working in business and corporations, I grew up in a very working class area. I didn't finish my own education. All those things have helped this come together.
This is the CCF award ceremony. Almost every child gets an award for something. After 6 years, Udom is CCF's first graduate, who is now heading off to college with Neeson's help.
I want to be a manager of a hotel.
A manager of a hotel?
Yes.
Are you learning skills here?
Yeah, my major is hospitality and tourism.
I want to be a manager, doctor, and teacher.
All three?
Yeah.
Jim Giannopoulos is chairman of Fox Filmed Entertainment. He sponsored a fundraiser for CCF.
You know, we all want to change the world, and when we approach that effort and try and implement that desire, you know, you realize it is very difficult to change the world. But what Scott has done is changed a little piece of it and completely changed it for these kids.
At the award ceremony, Neeson was asked about his recent fundraising trip to America.
That was a tough question to answer.
What did she ask?
She asked if the U.S. trip was a success.
Was it?
No. The finances are difficult here, and it's become less about the work here and more about trying to ensure we have enough money to keep it all going.
He says if the financial situation doesn't improve, he's going to have to rein in some of his outreach programs, but swears that no matter what happens, no kid will leave CCF without a good education, period. And that includes college.
Number one. Love that.
For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Lucky Severson in Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
That's our program for now. I'm Bob Abernethy. We'd like to hear from you. You can follow us on our Facebook page. We also have much more on our website. You can comment on all of our stories and share them. Audio and video podcasts are also available. Join us at pbs.org. As we leave you, the choir at Mary Queen of Vietnam Church in East New Orleans.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're yourretirementcompany.com. Also by the Henry Luce Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.